Hello and welcome to the May edition of the ARCOT podcast with me, James Jenkins, Head of Customer Development, and ARCOT's General Manager, Matt Cook. Hi, Matt. How are you?
James, good. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you. I'm very well indeed. So this may come as a shock to you, Matt, but some people may be joining us for the first time. So not that our audience figures weren't amazing, but we're promoting this over LinkedIn, as well as we spread the joy around our passion for driving out fraud and friction from the cardinal present payment space. So I thought it might be worth, maybe we start with the background to this call. What are we trying to achieve? What do we talk about every month? And really where it stemmed from, because we've been doing this now for what, over a year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you mean people actually listen to this?
My mother stopped listening to about 3 months ago.
No, good. So yeah, I think the purpose, at least from my perspective, is just an opportunity to share what we're seeing in the world of 3D secure authentication. It may sound funny to some, but this little niche has become a career for a lot of people. And it's all we do. It's what we do all day, every day. We work with merchants and issuers on authenticating card transactions through 3DS. And we spend all day internally talking about how do we make the ARCOT network the best place on the planet for folks to authenticate card payments. And so it's just our chance to talk about this thing that we've become obsessed with in hopes that there are other like-minded individuals out there who also have become obsessed with it and see it as a tool to achieve the objective of allowing the world to transact, or legitimate transactions to transact without friction, and while stopping the fraudsters or the bad guys from actually getting through.
Yeah. Well put. It's such an exciting space. And, you know, we have bad actors and then we have all multiple players, and we communicate with all of them. Like you say, this is all we do. So we talk 3D secure for morning, noon and night. And it affects everybody because we're all cardholders and we're all kind of victims of fraud, right? Or fraud attacks. So yeah, it should be a healthy discussion. Hope it's useful. I actually had a call this week from Pennsylvania, and in front of my mind is, you know, multiple clients are saying that their cardholders are suffering from phishing attacks, right? And we'll kind of talk about this in more detail around authentication. But this is a scenario where a fraudster calls someone and says, we're going to send you a one-time password, read it back to us. And obviously they're claiming to be your bank or your credit card company, and then the transaction is authenticated. And I think it highlights the issue with, as we tighten up all of these components, we leverage all the rails and all the data that we have together, the weak link in the chain is the human being. And someone thought this week I was the weak link in that chain, and they called me up and they said, we've seen, you know, pretended to be from a major retailer who will remain nameless, and said, we've noticed some unusual activity on your account. A large transaction was attempted, and we want to verify some details with you. So I said, what was the transaction? And he said, it was a laptop and a phone, which I responded, I said, no, it wasn't. And he went, no, it wasn't, bye. So very polite, but it was a fraud attack. And I would just say, you know, first thing we should always say is stay vigilant of these kind of things. But it's those kind of scenarios and others, and they're happening from all over the world on our platform all the time. And really that's the game that we're in, isn't it? Is stopping, you know, people are just joining us, is stopping, preventing card not present fraud attacks and doing it in a way which doesn't cause undue friction. I think that's an area that we're going to focus on today. So interesting. Stay safe out there, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, that situation that you just described is now a common element of almost every customer conversation I have, which is that exact phishing attack has been pretty effective, to be honest, because it's just finding the weakest point in the whole, weakest link in the whole chain. And so the only way, if we jump to how do you solve that, and maybe I'm getting out of order here, but yeah, the only way I can think of, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it, is you have the device upon which the purchase is coming from, and you can do historical data analytics on that device ID to determine if that device has purchased things in the past. Then there's also going to be, you know, this is the challenge with SMS, is that you don't have the device ID for the person typing in just that or getting the SMS and then reading it to the person on the phone, right? So the best way I've seen it work with our customers is that you eliminate or minimize the use of SMS as a channel for OTP, and you push people towards an in-app authentication experience, whether that's a banking portal app or some form of authentication app, where then you can actually capture the device ID from the purchase is doing for the person who's doing the approving as well. So then you can do a comparison both on historical for the approvals, but also are those two devices associated with a similar user? There are ways to then determine whether or not that's likely to be a fraudster or not. Yeah. But you know, that's straight OTP over SMS. It's just becoming more and more of a problem and more of a financial liability for all of us involved in the world of authentication.
Yeah, really, yeah. Yeah, and I think if the this is not AI or, you know, robotics related, but if fraudsters are targeting the human being, we want to take the human being out of that transaction as much as we can, right? And so, you know, a couple of practical examples to lead on from your point is if they do manage to get through the net and there's a fraud and we can see that device, we don't want to, you know, I would recommend we don't want to take any transactions from that device again. Right. If we know that fraud, because they won't do it once, so this will be a, you know, likely to be a sustained attack. So, you know, message to customers who are listening is, you know, let's work together and block those fraudulent devices. The other one is, can we remove the challenge rate as much as we can and drop it? I was giving some thought to this. You know, the whole authenticate. I mean, the book's written on authentication, right? How do I authenticate that it's you right now, right? We haven't gone through an OTP. There's a level of trust here. There's enough data. I know you. I know your voice, etc. We're on video. But how do you authenticate a credit card transaction over the anonymity of the internet? It can be difficult. But now there's so much data whizzing around, shared amongst parties, that you should have a high level of trust. And I was looking at some fraud data, and you know, it's working, right? I mean, the UK has seen, I think various sources have shown it's circa kind of 9-10% since 2019, that fraud is down, right? And that's good news for all of us. I think the problem is we've seen, and we welcome, you know, PSD2 regulation that's pushed up that friction and that challenge rate, and now fraudsters are targeting that window because they know that it's difficult, you know, on the other areas of the spectrum, so to speak. So I think that's our challenge right now. And we spoke about this earlier, that we've moved from, I think, as a business, and you know, we've been going this since 2000, right? I think most people are aware of that. That was really the driver there, was driving fraud out for issuers. Right. Then we went into this compliance phase. And now I think we're in the phase of to stay compliant, keep the fraud rates down, but let's drive that challenge rate down as much as possible. Right. And I thought we could have a conversation about practical ways that we do that.
Yeah, agreed. I think that you know, we see a lot of data in our seat, and we've seen how certain card schemes do authentication differently. And we've seen the resulting transaction flows for those major card networks that are able to achieve single digit challenge rates versus those on Visa and MasterCard are more in the kind of mid 30s to 50 percentage points, depending on where you are throughout the globe. So as we look at that, that's a lot of friction that's put into every transaction. And inherent in that is there are a lot of challenges that do succeed and are legitimate transactions. And what we've been doing on our side is, let's look at that population of transactions and try to find out, do we really need a challenge? And is there a way for us to eliminate the amount of friction? Because there's always the worst thing is when you challenge and then you have a legitimate shopper who is presented with friction and doesn't get through it for whatever reason, and pulls out another card, and all of a sudden another card is top of wallet. And you know, when something fails and you don't trust it, I find myself doing this too. I don't use the card as much because just getting denied is a little bit embarrassing when you're doing it, you know, in person, a little bit embarrassing right. When you're doing it by yourself on your computer, to be honest. It's just like, no one likes to get rejected. It's just a pain in the ass, and you got to go authenticate or authorize the transaction, all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that we as an industry should be proud of ourselves that we've got authentication working at scale throughout the globe. But now it's time for us to turn to how do we have less friction in the payment process? Because I think that friction is actually resulting in a lot of lost transactions, which nobody likes. Nobody likes, especially the issuer. Nobody likes that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a problem. I think it's understandable, and the regulation kind of drove it up. And I think, you know, in the recommendations document that was part of the newsletter, you know, we're pushing for, yeah, aiming towards 15. But to your point, why can't we go single digit? You know, 3DS, the kind of best practice used to be 95% allow, and then as close as you could get to 5, right, with the deny. That used to be how we were operating. PSD2's pushed that up, and then with the use of exemptions, it's coming back down. So you mentioned there, let's have a discussion around the optimal kind of authentication, then we'll talk about how we drive it down. You mentioned then SMS. It's intuitive, it's widely used, people understand it, not that secure.
Right. Well, maybe we start with the holy grail of authentication is just frictionless approval of a legitimate transaction, right? That's what we all want. That's it. And like, if it's a legitimate transaction, don't usually want to challenge it. There's certain pockets in the world people are like, oh, I feel better when I challenge. Maybe. But I think in general, the world could probably agree that if you're able to determine that it's a high likelihood of a legitimate transaction, don't challenge it. And I'm not sure we've really nailed that formula yet, because that's the first place we start with our customers. It's like, let's look at that. What legitimate transactions are we challenging that we don't really need to? I mean, there's certain regulations, but there's always exemptions that can be claimed, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I would focus on those legitimate transactions that are getting challenged, first place to focus, and to say, you know, what can we do in the rule set to change that behavior so that almost all of our legitimate, high probability legitimate transactions go through frictionless. That would be my target to start.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it back to you, if I may, Matt. So if we know big merchants, they do a big risk assessment on that transaction. And some of the big merchants, I shop at a lot, right? So I'm using that for multiple devices. They can see the location. We know they have a very good window into how I'm operating on their website, right? And my history of transactions. That then can be sent over 3DS. You know, there's some debate on how much will be used, but there's 150 fields available, right? Those 150 fields come over are mixed up with the issuer's view of my transactions historically, whether there's been a compromise on my card on another channel, whether there's been a fraud attack on my net banking channel, for example. They combine that all together, and then they can make an informed decision on whether this is me. And that includes everything about my device, my location, as I say, transaction history. Now, is that more or less secure than sending me a one-time password to my phone, which I then input back in? And I would argue it's less secure often to do it that way. So to your point, I think the more we can leverage all of that power in the platform to drive those challenge rates down, I think we can squeeze fraud out. And I think this is the and, not the or, right? We don't want to flip-flop between the two. There's no compromise here in terms of fraud. We want to drive that up and actually squeeze more fraud out of the system, but take it out of the cardholder experience.
Yeah, that's right. It's a delicate balance. I mean, you're trying to do two things at the same time, right? Reduce friction and allow all of the, and catch the fraud, stop the fraudster. So if you're trying to do those two things, it's a very delicate balance, because the friction has been designed to stop the fraudsters.
Yeah.
So by taking it out, put yourself at risk, unless you have a 20-year history of massive amount of data elements that can start to do pattern recognition, and that you're able to perform the magic of authentication where you can determine the identity of the cardholder without asking them to perform any challenge.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so SMS moves to app-based biometrics, right? We know that's kind of best practice. So then how do we, if that's the direction of travel, how do we do that whilst staying compliant with FCA PSD2 guidelines that are kind of mandating a lot of this stuff? We have the answer, but...
Yeah, a couple of things. So I would say, depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to merchants, and merchants, like you said, know a lot about their customers. They know a lot. And so claim, acquire TRA, and acquire TRA will give its transaction risk assessment where the acquirer or the merchant is doing the risk assessment, and then telling the issuer, I've done it. I don't need liability shift. I feel good about this. Don't challenge it. That's a good starting point, because to your point, the transactions all start with the merchants. And if you're starting with a, this is low, this is within my fraud range, it's the value limits are appropriate, I feel good about this, don't challenge it, I'll keep fraud liability. That's a big step towards reducing a lot of friction. That's point one. Then if you're talking to issuers, the big ones are, well, there's always low value transactions, which I think most people are taking advantage of low value transaction yeah. exemptions right now. The other one that I think is going to be the biggest, have the biggest impact is trusted beneficiary. And just if you think about it, asking the cardholder, do you trust this merchant in the future when you do an authentication, just makes a lot of sense, right? It makes a lot of sense that if I'm shopping at, you know, a merchant frequently because I buy all sorts of daily supplies from that merchant, I should be able to trust it and not get challenged every time I do. You can still hold, the issuer still holds the power to re-authenticate after a certain number of transactions just to make sure that, you know, you're not, you haven't kind of provisioned a bad guy on the whitelist. But trusted beneficiary, I think, has a lot of potential. I really do. And there's going to be a whole flow built into our product where our issuers don't have to do anything to implement trusted beneficiary. We'll have the flow all nailed down, totally self-contained within Arcot, with an API that people can connect to. And if they want to control the whitelist inside the banking portal or something, that's absolutely positive. But we want to provide this functionality to our customers and to their cardholders without requiring the IT department to do any development work. So right. I think trusted beneficiary is another big one. So acquire TRA for the merchant side, trusted beneficiary. And then I would like to see us get more aggressive on issuer TRA, where the issuer, we perform a transaction risk assessment on every single transaction that comes into the Arcot network. And we should be using that to claim more exemptions. And we should be using that to go back to that look where we have been challenging, where we have a high degree of confidence of a legitimate transaction, and just stop doing that and see what happens and manage the fraud on the back end, which is the key to any of these changes. As we make these changes, everybody should be providing fraud data, and we should be using fraud data as the guidepost to how well is this working.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned merchants and issuers. We're more than happy, right, as Arcot to act as that kind of intermediary, because it requires input from both sides. And we have, you know, some of those biggest relationships with merchants. And if, you know, I still come back to this, if you get merchant and issuers working in best practice, we can do exactly what we're targeting, right? Which is drive down the friction and the fraud at the same time. On the trusted beneficiary piece, I mean, really, that's a driver for compliance, right? I mean, and compliance is, yeah, I will go out on a limb here and say it's a good thing that's driven by, you know, doing the right thing, right? They want the same thing as us. And if I, as a cardholder, make a decision that I trust this merchant because I use it a lot, right, and it's a well-known brand, then the legislation allows for me not to be stepped up again, right? Or less often, I should say, because the issuer keeps that. And as you say, we've got a very practical API-based solution to implement that. I think the low-value transactions we're aware of, commercial cards. But the point is, there's a lot of exemptions there that can be used. I guess with that comes some complexity, right?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I mean, it's all the way that this all gets managed inside the Arcot platform is in the rule set. And it's the rules where all the magic are. And we've promoted this concept of our Fortress rule set, which is best practice rule set that we think is finely tuned for different regions or different markets throughout the world to say, this is best practice. This is how you should be approaching the rule set. Clean, simple. We see a lot of rule sets that just get crazy over time, you know, through no one's fault. No one has any malintent. But as things happen over time, you make changes to the rules. You add a rule, you add a rule, you add a rule, and all of a sudden you have 1,000 rules. And you know which ones trigger which, and which one takes priority, or when it becomes kind of madness. So we've also recently launched our program management offering where we manage the rule set for our customers, and we're able to do this. You know, taking into account real-time fraud alerts, taking into account things that we're seeing by getting fraud data from our customers, best practice. You know, it's a network, right? We run yep. SaaS network where we can see all the transactions coming through the system in real time, and we can adjust very quickly to flash fraud attacks or when we see certain things going wrong. So we have hands on keyboards helping to manage that rule set for our customer. And, you know, we've done it for a few of our issuers, and the results have been fantastic. It's been, first of all, it takes a lot of the load off the internal team because EMV3DS has a lot of data fields. It's very complicated stuff. So we can help to do that, take the load off the team, and also it drives better results. We get better challenge rates, lower challenge rates, and also we're able to react to fraud in near real time. So yeah. It's been, it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there's no perfect here. And I think, again, to your point, there's not a criticism. We went through, as I mentioned, we went through the fraud, then the compliance. And now we're looking, because we're never satisfied, we're looking to squeeze that extra performance out. And, you know, we're talking big numbers here, right? We're talking billions of transactions. Small percent of a big number is a big number. And by sending it via 3DS, we can, you know, we can have a material impact. Like what you said earlier around, like, what's the impact of unnecessary friction, and we started with the example around fraud, but then there's also like the lost revenue, the interchange, and like you mentioned, that card. You know, if my card gets declined, you know, in the real world it goes back of wallet or top of wallet. I never know, I get mixed up between the US and British versions now, but in a digital environment, I swap that out for a different card. It stays there years, right? I think my card, I'm not giving any credit card transaction details, but I think my card expires in 27. And if I swap that out into a digital website, it's not coming out again.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a big impact on customers. So practical kind of next step examples, Matt, for clients who are interested in this and are looking to kind of move to the next phase.
Yeah, I mean, I think for program management, if you're interested, if that sounds interesting to you, which is a 3DS expert helping you manage your rule set and taking into account real-time fraud trends on the Archive network, then reach out and we'd be happy to have a conversation. And I think that we could take you through some of the case studies where we've done this kind of work, and we'd just talk about how we think we can help customers figure out or manage this complex ecosystem in a more efficient manner and get better results. That's the whole idea. We're just trying to help our customers get better results using the platform. 3D secure authentication appears to be here to stay, and it's becoming more and more important every day. It's a front door to a lot of payment transactions. So I think if you want to put a sentry on the front door, we've got a lot of sentries that we can offer.
Yeah, 100%. And there'll be a mail coming out around program management and scorecard. And to that point, we use the scorecard really to look for problem areas, right? And as I say, we haven't seen any that are perfect, and we don't expect to, right? But we want this to be very tailored to, you know, do we have a problem with fraud rates? Do we have a problem with customer challenge rates? Let's focus there. Let's focus on optimizing the rules, driving exemptions, and we want to get around a table. And this is going to be an ongoing process, right? The product's not the same. It will not be static. Fraud certainly won't be static, and neither will the scheme mandates and the compliance mandates that are coming out. So we see this very much as an opportunity to really go deep and partner, which I think we do very, very well on the CSM front. But we want to go a level down and make sure that platform is really optimized from a rules and score and see the benefits from it. I think it will be make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of this is you're never done. I mean,
right.
It's just this thing. You always have to be moving, because as soon as you stop moving and being on the front foot, someone's going to attack and you're going to get exposed. So it's this game that will, I guess, is good if you're in the security industry. But the reality of it is this little cyber warfare thing will probably never be done, and we'll always be tuning and optimizing and trying to protect legitimate transactions and from those that we think are fraudulent. So yeah, that's what we do all day, every day.
So no sleep then is what you say?
No, we're running 24/7. You run an authentication network that focuses on fraud, you can never stop, you
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all for it. Okay, very good. Any closing comments?
No, I mean, other than I am feeling a lot of energy around how do we, how can we now take the next leap inside 3D Secure Authentication, which is how do we now make less of an impact on the checkout process, but still be just as effective at stopping fraud and allowing the good guys through. So that's where we're spending all our time right now. And we welcome all conversation with our customers to have that conversation and try to apply their data to the situation so we can make intelligent decisions together.
Great note to end on. Okay. Well, with that, thank you, Matt. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Look out for the, you'll see in the newsletter, lots of rich content, scorecard with the update from Chris Seracki, as well as updates from the product team, industry updates, and then we will speak again in around a month's time.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks all. Bye-bye.